All past civilizations experienced OBEs. They practiced it, and in some cases, they were probably way more perfected with it than we were. We'll be back in a moment with Marilyn Hughes on Coast to Coast AM. Marilyn, you mentioned that the masters are around too. Do they help? Are they like angels? Do they help you through this process?
They do. I wouldn't call them angels. They're different in terms of what kind of a being they are. But the masters from throughout the ages are very much, I call them the royal family of God, because they all work together in helping humanity to continue to evolve. It doesn't matter if they're Buddhist, Christian, Islamic, Hindu, or Native American, or Jewish, or any other religion. They're all working together.
Well, and they've all performed, I think, OBEs. Every religion has.
Yes, the mystics in all the religions have done that. And frankly, most of our world religions came about because of profound out-of-body experiences.
If somebody practices and can't do it, what does that mean about them?
It usually doesn't mean anything except that it might not be what they're being called to do. A lot of people have, this kind of experience, as I mentioned earlier, took a great deal of time for me to cultivate. And I was given a situation when I was at home with my kids when they were younger to do that. A lot of people have other callings in this life, and it may not happen for them in the same way because of that. An interesting example, too, of showing how out-of-body experiences can be instrumental in getting us started, but then they can stop, is like Mother Teresa. You know, Mother Teresa had this great vision of what she was supposed to do, and then she experienced the dark night for the remainder of her life, 40 years, where she did not feel the presence of God. But she received enough of that revelation, that out-of-body experiences that she needed, to know what she needed to do. And then she had so much on her plate, I don't know if there was room for her to continue doing it. And that might be why it was withdrawn. And so I don't think it means anything, except that maybe this person is not called to seek the truth in their particular life in that particular way.
What do you see as really the true benefit of astral projection, OBEs?
I think the benefit is the evolution of the soul. It's actually the ability to figure out why you're still here, you know, because if we're reincarnating here, we're still here because of something we have not figured out yet. And so, you know, when I went through my experiences, I went into hundreds of past lives and saw this pattern going on and on over and over again, and was able to identify what I needed to overcome in order to hopefully finish up this time around. So there's a great deal to be accomplished spiritually, in terms of why we're actually still here on the earth.
Did you see that cord that connected your body with the astral body?
I've never seen it.
You've never seen the
cord?
But
I've read about a lot of people who have. So
Why can't you see it?
I've just never seen it.
Interesting, because some used to say if it breaks, you die, but it doesn't break unless you die.
And that's what I've heard too, but I have never seen a cord. But I know that many people have, so I don't really know what to make of that.
Where have you gone? Have you gone to far out distant planets and places?
Oh, yeah. I've gone to many distant planets and galaxies. I've traveled into profoundly beautiful dimensions that are, you know, would be, you know, realm five and above, and it goes on into infinity. So you can imagine are the different levels of light. And they continue to expand as you go out. And I've been to a myriad of those realms many, many times. I've been to the sun. I've been to the Pleiades, Alpha Centauri.
Have you seen other civilizations and how they live?
I have.
Give me an example of a city, for example, on a different planetary system.
Well, like one of the experiences I had would...
Now I feel like I'm talking to Jodie Foster in Contact. But...
Yeah, I've had several, but I'll try to give you an overview. One of them was the crystal cities of what I saw as the Pleiadian area of the galaxies or whatever. There were like amethyst buildings that were crystalline.
Amazing.
Amazing crystalline-like structures that were huge, like quartz crystals that would shoot up out of the ground, mountains that were of pure crystal, and seeing the seven Pleiadian stars instead of the one sun that we see. It was very, very beautiful. And this is a realm that is a very higher than us, in like an unconditionally loving, very free and spiritual realm. One place I was taken to that I'll never forget, I was only allowed to experience it in a very remote way. These beings came to me from, I guess I would call it a star system because I have no idea where it is. All I was given to know was that it was a star system that was so much further advanced than us that I could only stand being in it for a few minutes. And what they did was they came, they were all in white. They appeared to me, for my benefit, as somewhat human, but they were very, very bright, brilliantly lighted. And what they did was they held my hands, and when they held my hands, I got to experience being in the world they came from for a few moments, and I cannot even describe it. I begged them not to let me come back. It was beyond the Pleiadian experience, which I've had a lot of. Seen some, like with the Alpha Centauri experience I had was interesting in that their sun seemed so huge in the sky compared to ours. It was like half the horizon. But this particular race of beings, whoever they were, represented such a high level of evolution that it's inexplicable. It was just the level of vibration you were taken to, the understanding that they had of the mysteries, and I got to touch into that for just a few moments.
Truly something. Let's go to some calls. Let's go to Ypsilanti, Michigan. Ron, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Ron.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good, Ron.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Marilyn. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. I wanted to ask you about, I think I had an out-of-body experience.
Okay.
I was taking care of my brother. He had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was up and down all day with him and everything, and went to bed about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I just bolted right up at about 3 in the morning. And next thing I know, I'm looking out my window, watching myself walk around outside my house.
Yeah, it sounds like an out-of-body experience.
It was so weird, and I was confused. I was out in the yard, because I live on the country, and I was out in the yard, and I was really confused, and I was looking around, looking at the ground, looking at everything. Then the next thing I know, I'm back in I wake up about 4 or 5 hours later. But I don't remember anything about coming back from the yard, back in the, in my body or anything.
Did you have any sensations of, like, sometimes when you go right out of your body and then you're in the backyard wandering around, if you're just in the overlapping astral realm, you'll experience what looks like twilight.
Yes, it was like that. It was a night, but it was like there was a full moon,
Yes, yes. It sounds like you did have an out-of-body experience, and you popped out, and you were outside, and I know that one of the things that I experienced when I first started having those, I would see neighbors sometimes, and I would try to talk to them, and they couldn't hear me. And that would very much confuse me at first.
What about people who, have these near-death experiences, and they pop out of their bodies, and they tell the doctor, I heard what you were saying, and this and that, and we've had guests on who've talked about that. Truly incredible cases, Marilyn.
Oh, I agree. I agree. I'm a full-fledged believer in near-death experiences.
Do you see color when you're in the astral state? Do you see blues, reds, anything like that?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, the colors are more brilliant the higher you go, and dimension-wise. The lower you go, they become more darker, dimmer, things like that. But actually, the colors are one of the things that stand out when you start traveling to the higher realms, because they are so iridescent, and they're colors that you don't normally see in our world to the degree, the vibrancy. And a lot of times there's also what I would call like a sparkler effect. There's just this twinkling sparkler light that is all around you in the atmosphere. It's very, very different than what we see here.
In your travels, do you go into other parallel universes?
I have had that experience, but on a fairly limited basis. I've gone into parallel time frames, and I've gone into I guess if you're talking about parallel universes, definitely, yeah, because we're kind of, when you travel through, if you're going up into the heavens, a lot of times, black holes,
mm-hmm.
I call them star tunnels. If you go through the star tunnel, you're going to go into a parallel universe of one kind or another, and there's a lot of them. So they're not all the same. So one of the places that I go to when I go through those star tunnels is what I call the galactic heavens, where you see and you're shooting through space and you can see the stars and the planets and the nebulas, and it's in really vibrant colors. But there's also other like planetary systems that I've gone to where you have higher civilizations, and that's a completely different parallel universe. And then some of these overlap, some of them do not. And so it can get pretty complex and complicated.
All right, next up, let's go to San Diego. Antonio, you're up. Hi.
Hi. Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Antonio.
Hi, ma'am. And I just wanted to say that your energy and your tone is numbing, and I love it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Antonio.
True.
I'm actually... I've been going to a place called Unarius and reading up on a guy, Dr. Norman, and actually trying to get into a lot of the stuff you're talking about, but I'm also very new to it. And also, I kind of sometimes can have an out-of-body experience, but the way I explain it is it's almost like it's when I'm awake. Like, I don't really remember my dreams at all, but I have a very... level of consciousness when I'm awake. It's almost, I almost call it like daydreaming, but it's almost, I don't know, does that...
You know, that's interesting because that kind of goes back to what George was talking about earlier, I think, in that that is almost resemblance of remote viewing. Would you agree with that, George?
I would, absolutely.
It sounds like you're experiencing something similar to remote viewing.
Really?
Yeah,
because that was a new concept. I listened to the whole show, and that was a new concept to me. That's weird.
Well, there's a lot of good books about remote viewing, and George mentioned some of them as well. But there's a lot of great books out there about the experience of remote viewing. I remember one in particular that really struck me was one called Psychic Warrior.
Yep, by David Morehouse.
Thank you, because I didn't remember the author. But there were several remote viewers who are in that government program that have put out books. I know Joseph McMonigle is one.
Uh-huh. Ingo Swann, Hal Puthoff, all of them.
Yes.
Paul Smith.
And they have more of this gift where they have waking experiences, and they're able to travel across time and space and see things in the physical world, but also in the spiritual world. And that sounds more like remote viewing. That's very interesting.
Let's go to William in New York, New York, east of the Rockies. Hey, William, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Such a pleasure to talk to you.
Sure.
Hi, William.
Hi, Marilyn. And I do want to say what the other last listener said. Marilyn, your energy is really beautiful.
Well, thank you, William.
Palpable. Yeah. Well, you're very welcome. Thank you. I just had an interesting experience. It's quite late here, and I was falling asleep, and I fell asleep with the radio on, listening to you guys. And was totally aware that I was dreaming. I'm a very vivid dreamer, and that I was listening to the radio, and that I was aware that I was dreaming. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be extraordinary if I had an out-of-body experience now? And indeed, I had what I thought was one, and I guess a lot of people listening are probably wondering, well, I've had this and that, and is that does that count? Is that real or whatever? in this particular case, I felt the sensation of a kind of flapping wind, like a wind around me, as if the sheets on my bed were flapping. And I felt myself being sort of moved through space. And then I was so conscious of dreaming that I said, well, when I wake up, I'll call these guys. And the fact that I got you was sort of confirmation that this was special.
So this just happened.
Yeah, this is just now. Yeah. It's 3 in the morning here. And I was trying to think of an apt metaphor for what I was feeling so that I could report it to you when I was done. And I felt it was as if there was somebody pushing me through space. And I felt that almost as if how you would push a surfboard through the water. In other words,
almost like an eternal force.
Well, it was a person. It was a person pushing me. You know, a very tangible. I wasn't anybody I knew, but a tangible person had me and was being very careful about how my body was positioned and how it was a female and how she was pushing me. And you know, she would readjust my hand, readjust my head. And sort of pushed me through, and that was the astral journey. But I was also aware that things weren't accurate. In other words, and this is the big question I have, because I've had these things before. In other words, I wasn't in exactly the environment that I actually am in. It wasn't like I could see my messy apartment and
right.
Be in the bed or anything like that. In fact, at one point I looked in the bed and I didn't see myself, but I knew I was dreaming anyway. But I'm wondering... Well, for example, once I had an out-of-body experience where I was taken through the window and in New York City and sort of rushed across the river almost like I was blowing like in the wind, and I went to a house and I was compelled to heal somebody in that house, and I didn't know who they were or how to heal them, but somehow my presence was necessary to heal them. And it felt so profound and so real. But it wasn't the actual Hudson River I flew over, and it wasn't really New Jersey that I went to. And so I'm wondering, when we have discrepancies like that, I mean, I can imagine if... I'm sorry to talk so much.
No, that's okay. We've got some time before the break. Go ahead.
Thank you. When you know, when I hear about near-death experiences, part of one of the things that people ask about is, well, you know, can you tell what was on the little table with the scalpels? What tools were there? Can you tell what the doctor was wearing that you wouldn't be able to see, for example? And I always think that's kind of a confirmation that those things really happened as astral experiences. But if you imagine the places that you see as being different, do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
In the voyage, does that mean that it's, you know, I wonder whether that means that it's not valid as an astral experience or whether in a slightly altered world the way dreams are altered.
Exactly. We're in an altered world. I've had experiences where I've been actually allowed to see the shift from one dimension to the next from one location, and I would look around the room and see how things changed with each shift. And so things do shift and change when we go from this dimension to the next, and we can experience things that are not quite what you would consider physically accurate, but there's something else happening at the same time. So I would definitely think you did have an out-of-body experience, but the thing that you're experiencing there is that anytime you switch from the third dimension to the fourth, to the fifth, to the sixth, any of those switches can switch the entire environment that you're in.
Marilyn, your website, outofbodytravel.org. Is that it?
That's it.
All right, stay with us. More to come when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Sign up for the After Dark magazine yet? You get great issues. 1-888-727-5505 for the monthly magazine, or you can go online at coasttocoastam.com. Marilyn, if you were to explain out-of-body experiences in terms of a definition of what they are, what would you say?
I would say that an out-of-body experience is that your spirit is separating from your body, and you're going into what would be the overlapping reality, which many people refer to as the other side, which is, you know, we're experiencing the other side of existence, which is, you know, the other side of death. And there's a whole lot more on that side than I think a lot of us realize.
Indeed, they do. Next up, let's go to Bruce in Sacramento, west of the Rockies. Hi, Bruce. Go ahead.
George, Maryland. Hi. Great
Hi.
Show.
Hi.
I'd like to talk about a specific OBE. I've had several of them since I was a child, but one in particular kind of stood out. I was driving in the car one evening, and for those in Sacramento, I was just passing Memorial Auditorium on 16th and J, and I was listening to the radio, and they were talking about a concert that was coming to Sacramento, and I got all excited, and I thought, oh, God, I got to call everybody and tell them about this. The second I did that, I'm out in Rancho Cordova in another town over at a friend's house, and I'm walking down the hallway of their home, and I'm walking into a living room, and I can hear a friend talking. She was in the kitchen. She was talking to another friend that I was not familiar with. Anyway, the other girl was talking, and right in the middle of a sentence, she stops and turns around and looks at me. And there was just a pause, and all of a sudden, Amber comes walking out of the kitchen and looked at her, and she said, the other girl said, "Who's that?" And Amber said, "Oh, that's Bruce. What do you want?" And all of a sudden, bam, I'm back in the car, and I'm at 29th and J, you know, what is it, 14 blocks away. And I thought, what just happened? I mean, I was weird. Yeah, it was weird. But that wasn't the weirdest part. The weirdest part was the following day when I was talking to him on the phone. Amber called up, and, you know, I was telling him about the concert and stuff. And there was a pause, and she said, "By the way, what did you want last night?" I go, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, I was at home, and I had a friend over, and we were talking. And all of a sudden, the next thing I know, you're walking out of our hallway, and you're standing there."
Wow. Have you ever heard of bilocation by chance?
I'm familiar with the term.
Well, a lot of mystics have reported through the centuries people who have been in two places at the same time, and they call it bilocation. Sounds very much like what your experience was, especially when you have the verification of the other party in that way, where it seems more like a bilocation experience rather than just a psychic moment. Do you know what I mean?
Would that be, that would not be an OBE, would it?
It, well, it kind, I mean, it kind of borders on it because you're there, but it's officially would be tagged bilocating because you're in two places at the same time, because he would not have been able to also have kept control of that vehicle if he weren't in both locations at the same time.
Did you ever come across your own doppelganger?
I don't think I have.
You never know. Let's go to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hello, Eric. It's your turn on Coast to Coast.
Hi. Good evening.
Hi.
Very excellent show. Resonating well with the both of y'all. Always do with George. And just really have a few questions for you. I'll make it quick. I'm familiar. I've used the Monroe products. I've used the HemiSync products, and am currently in about 2.5 years into my awakening that I've known about my whole life. Kind of happy I figured it out at 34. I know it takes some people longer, and actually bumped into a kid the other day that actually has it all figured out at the age of 6. I thought that was kind of neat. But my question for you is this. When I am meditating, I'll know I'm getting close to having the out-of-body. I'll start getting muscle twitching, rapid eye movement, and it almost feels as if somebody unscrews the back of my head and starts playing with my brain a little bit.
Hmm. Yeah.
And during that time, it's almost as if, I want to say it's like having a TV on in the other room or a radio on in the other room, and it's like I'm hearing other commercials from other places and other people talking, but I can't quite make out what they're saying. And it's like, it seems the harder I try to listen to what's actually being said, I lull off to sleep.
Well, let me give you some advice on what to do next time that happens. What you're probably experiencing there is the sounds of the astral plane. When you
right.
when you tune into the astral plane, you hear the thoughts of humanity. And so rather than focusing on those thoughts, try to go beyond the thoughts that you're hearing, because those are just random thoughts, and they can actually hinder your development.
Okay.
And this feeling that you're having in the back of your head, a lot of times people will experience it more at the top of their head, which is where the crown chakra is, and you'll feel
right.
a lot of energetic activity up there. Focus more on that and allowing that to occur, and kind of
okay.
pushing aside those voices that you're hearing, because those are probably actually causing a little bit of a distraction.
Distraction.
To,
okay,
to help you get there.
One more thing for you real
sure.
quick.
Sure, go ahead.
I almost now, what I find happening is instead of the unscrewing of the head and feeling the vibration when I'm doing my meditations, I'm starting to frequent these things happening to me while I'm awake.
Uh-huh.
Almost to the point where I black out. But I can, and the only way I can describe it, it would be like multiplying myself, like ironing my feet into the ground and multiplying myself a million times. Like I'm, like, not replicating myself, but feeling myself stretching through these dimensions. And I guess, is there a way you can control that while you're awake?
I think you can. When you start opening up to the out-of-body experiences and stuff, you do start having more phenomena that's associated with, like, psychic phenomenon, becoming more aware of other vibrational realities when you're awake and conscious as well. And one of the things you can do is you pull your, it's kind of, you pull yourself in. You pull your energy back in if it gets to be too overwhelming or too much. Over time, that will come very naturally to you. You'll be able to do that almost without thinking. When you first start, like you're saying, you're 2.5 years into this, you can experience a lot of phenomenon that overlaps into your physical life. But as you discipline that, you're going to find that you can pull your energy back in when you need to. Does that make sense?
Well, maybe so. Maybe so. But it takes practice.
Yes, it does. It does. Takes some time.
Let's go next to our first-time caller in Oklahoma City, Adrian. It's your turn. Hi, Adrian.
George, what a pleasure talking.
Good to have you with us.
Hi, Adrian.
Hi, Marilyn. You sound divine. I love it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
George, my birthday was yesterday, June 16, and I think Art's is also the same date.
I think his is the 17th, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, gosh, I beat him. anyway, Marilyn,
uh-huh.
How beautiful it is. You see, I'm so glad to be able to talk about this, because it's very difficult to talk to people about experiences like this.
Yes, can be.
And by the way, it's so beautiful. I love it. It happened to me maybe about 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you said something that it just confirmed what I thought, what I think, that it is someplace that we go after, you know. And
yeah.
because I remember, you know, the 3 times that I had it, I was flying, Marilyn, and it was so beautiful that, I mean, I you see me when I come back.
I understand. The flying is indescribable.
My God, the way you just barely cleared. I don't know what I was, Marilyn. I have no idea what I was, but I can only tell you that it was so wonderful.
And one of the neat things, too, because our bodies are light, our light bodies, our spiritual bodies, a lot of people don't realize we can travel at the speed of light when we are in our spiritual body.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes you are shooting through space at the speed of light, and it really is an unbelievable experience.
Unbelievable. Marilyn, you see, I was a truck driver for 32 years, and I ran Alaska, Canada, and United States. So I have no idea what I was, whatever happened to me, because, but, my God, Maryland, is that a fact that, you see, I mean, am I right when I think of that, you see, that when we die, we go to those beautiful places that I already experienced, my God.
Uh-huh.
I'm asking you, you see, I mean, I'm asking you. And is that a proof that we actually go someplace after, you know, death?
Oh, is there proof that we go someplace after death?
And where do you go?
Well, that's a loaded question. but, you know, there are so many different possibilities based on what our various compatibilities are. When we cross over, we go to where we're compatible. So, you know, that can be any number of the higher realms, mortal realms. It can also be a lot of us end up going to what's commonly known as purgatorial realms, but they're really places of purification where we still have more work to do. Sometimes we return here to do some kind of purification. Reincarnation is part of the purgatorial process. There are lower realms that some of us also go to, depending on what we've been doing in this lifetime. But it has to do with our interior compatibility. It has to do with our intention, not just what we've been up to, what we've been doing, but it has to do with what we're actually intending in our heart. And that's where, you know, it says in the Bible, I believe, somewhere that that only God knows the heart of a man. There's a certain energetic knowledge that when I'm out of body, I can be shown, you know, the heart of a man. And we can't really know unless we see that.
Marilyn, why does it seem that death experiences are so similar to OBEs?
Because they're almost the same. The only difference between them really is the state of death. Because we are going to the same places. Now, like when someone is actually near death, they're probably going to see the family members. They're probably going to go to the light. They're going to have the life review things. But we go through those things in out-of-body experiences as well. They might not all happen in the same experience, but we'll go through all those things as well. We're going to go to some of the same dimensions. There are some boundaries. Like, for instance, there are some areas where if you go beyond them, you generally are not allowed to come back.
Who makes those rules?
I call it the eternal law, is what I call it. Things that have been shown to me that are just eternal law, things that we cannot violate without violating the mechanics of existence, so to speak.
Interesting. Very interesting. Next up, let's go to Arlington, Texas. Jerry on the wildcard line. Jerry, take it away.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, my name is Jerry. Nice to meet you. It's nice to hear both of you. George, calm down.
Jerry, are you on a speakerphone or what?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Let's see if we can get you off that.
Oh, sorry. Hello?
Yep, there you are.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. It's because you see, I have a friend named Vladimir, and he's from Russia, right?
Right.
He emigrated over here. And look, calm down now. It's going to be okay. I'm sorry, he's here with me today. He came with me because I told him I was going to talk to you all about this. He tells me he has astral projections. He's afraid of this. Stop. I'm sorry, he's trying to tickle me.
We're going to have to move on. Let him tickle you and have a good time. Maybe in the astral world they can tickle you, huh?
Oh, you can get tickled in the astral world, that's for sure.
Yes, you can. Feathers or not. Chicago, Illinois, we go east of the Rockies. Hello, Abe.
Hey. Good evening, George. Good evening, Marilyn.
Hi.
I have a couple quick questions. Well, one, when you do the out-of-body experience and you're in your spiritual body, is it possible to enter the dream realm?
Yes, and a lot of times the dream realm and the out-of-body realm do overlap anyway. Because a lot of times what people remember in dreams are actually portions of out-of-body experiences that they don't remember fully consciously. And so
yes,
you definitely can do that. There are different levels of consciousness that we experience, and a lot of people who are dreaming are just remembering portions of out-of-body experiences at a different level of consciousness, so it's more dreamlike. But when you have fully conscious out-of-body experiences, they become very much the same as a daily, you know, talking to someone in day-to-day life, where the consciousness is just fully conscious.
How do you teach yourself, Marilyn, to wake up in your astral state?
I usually don't want to, so I haven't done it very often.
I mean, isn't that how you know if you're astral projecting, if you're out of the body?
Oh, well, no. You generally know it immediately because I'm aware of the process as I'm going through it. I'm aware of, you know, leaving the body, going to another realm. And most of the time, I don't want to come back. There have been times when, especially like when I've engaged in like demonic warfare, which I've had to do,
mm-hmm.
where I do want to come back, and then I will usually call out for help. And usually you're going to call out for Jesus to help you, and sometimes St. Michael will come in. I've had incidences where the Buddha and Zarathustra, Avalokiteshvara, various prophets, saints, mystics, sages have come in and helped me. And so I will always call for help if I'm in a situation where I really want to wake up and get out of it. I call for help.
What do you mean, though, you don't want to come back?
Oh, it's so awesome over there. You know, you're like taking as long as you possibly
Isn't that dangerous?
I don't think so. It hasn't been for me, I guess I should say.
Have you ever had a problem where you couldn't get into your regular body?
Never.
Oh, all right.
Never.
Just my luck to be locked out or something. Let's go to Charles in Oregon. Get you in here, Charles, before the top of the hour. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, thanks, George. I talked to you this weekend about my Pulling of the Hearts project.
Right. Okay.
Thank you for being available and
sure
being open to that. Marilyn, I had an experience where I was driving to work, took 40 minutes to get there. I was talking to an angel, it seemed, who was in the car and yet way above me.
Mm-hmm.
And I got, you know, was being asked questions and answered them and vice versa. And it was a 40-minute drive to work. But when I pulled into the parking lot and stopped and looked up, I saw that it felt like I was only in the car for 10 minutes. Would that be relative to an out-of-body experience?
I wouldn't call that an out-of-body experience, but it sounds like you had an experience that...
missing time. Or...
Missing time, and possibly where the time seemed to be shorter because you were so engrossed in that discussion.
I mean, sometimes you've driven, right, from one point to another, and you don't know how you got there.
Yep.
you know, you're just like, you're aware when you get to the spot, but you don't know how you got there.
Right, exactly. You kind of drift off into another space, and it goes quicker than you think.
We'll come back with our final hour with Marilyn Hughes and your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM.